It's Monday, July 30th, AD 2018. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Pakistan ranks number 5 on the Open Doors World Watch list of persecution against Christians. In the midst of the violence against Christians there, driven by the notorious anti-blasphemy laws, there is a brave 86-year-old pastor named Sardar Din. Converted to Christianity as a poor, illiterate village boy, Pastor Din got educated and became employed at the American Embassy in Lahore. However, he resigned to engage in full-time Christian missionary work through Westminster Biblical Missions to help his people. While he oversees the Presbyterian Theological Seminary of Pakistan as its director, Pastor Din rises early every morning to read the scriptures over a loudspeaker that reaches a radius of at least half a mile. Miraculously, the local Muslims have not shut his ministry down. Pray for Pastor Din's health and protection today. Psalm 91, 1-2 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Vice President Mike Pence threatened American sanctions against Turkey if Pastor Andrew Brunson, who has been in prison for almost 2 years, is not free to return to the United States. He spoke to the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom on Thursday.
Pastor Andrew Brunson is an American citizen who's lived in Turkey for more than 2 decades, raising his family there, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ faithfully in his ministry. In 2016, Pastor Brunson was arrested by Turkish authorities as part of a massive crackdown following a failed coup attempt. Tens of thousands of journalists, activists, judges, army officers, teachers, and others were arrested and remain in prison to this day. Pastor Brunson was in prison without being charged for more than a year. And when the Turkish government finally indicted him, they accused him allegedly of dividing and separating Turkey by simply spreading his Christian faith. Pastor Andrew Brunson is an innocent man. There is no credible evidence against him. Our entire administration has worked tirelessly to secure Pastor Brunson's release. Yesterday, Turkey released Pastor Brunson from prison, only to place him under house arrest. This is a welcome first step, but it is not good enough. To believers across America, I say, pray for Pastor Brunson. While he is out of jail, he is still not free. And to President Erdogan and the Turkish government, I have a message on behalf of the President of the United States of America. Release Pastor Andrew Brunson now, or be prepared to face the consequences. If Turkey does not take immediate action to free this innocent man of faith and send him home to America, the United States will impose significant sanctions on Turkey until Pastor Andrew Brunson is free.
A horror story has emerged from Holland. A 70-year-old lady with dementia had authored an advance directive asking to be killed if her dementia became too severe. However, whenever the issue of asking to die was raised, she said, quote, "Not now, it's not so bad yet," end quote. Writing for the Washington Post, Charles Lane noted that, quote, "Despite the lack of a clear expression from the patient, a physician concluded her suffering was unbearable and incurable, though there was no terminal physical illness, and prepared a lethal injection. To ensure the patient's compliance, the doctor gave her coffee spiked with a sedative, and when the woman still recoiled from the needle, the doctor asked family members to hold her down. After 15 minutes were spent by the doctor trying to find a vein, the lethal infusion flowed." End quote. Sadly, a Dutch review panel cleared the unnamed doctor of all charges. Pope Francis on Saturday accepted the resignation of Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, one of the U.S. Catholic Church's most prominent figures who has been at the center of a widening sexual abuse scandal, reports Reuters. In addition to credible and substantiated allegations that he sexually abused a 16-year-old boy almost 50 years ago, several men have come forward to allege that McCarrick forced them to sleep with him at a beach house in New Jersey when they were adult seminarians studying for the priesthood. Ronan Farrow, the young man who broke the Harvey Weinstein story of sexual harassment and assault, has just concluded an 8-month investigation into CBS's top executive, Les Moonves, for The New Yorker.
It involves 6 women overcoming a lot of fear of retaliation to tell very serious stories of sexual misconduct about Les Moonves, one of the most powerful men in television. But it also involves dozens of sources talking about the corporate culture around Les Moonves and raising allegations that he promoted individuals who were the target of a lot of similar allegations.
Matthew 7:5 declares, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." 9 people were reportedly missing as a monster 48,300-acre wildfire in Northern California burned unchecked on Saturday after it killed 2 of the 3,400 firefighters battling the blaze, destroyed hundreds of structures, and sent thousands of frantic residents racing from their homes, reports Reuters. Kirk Cameron, the star of Fireproof, a marriage-themed film, is himself an inspiration to Christian men everywhere, as he and fellow actor Chelsea Noble have been married for 27 years and are raising their 6 children up in the admonition of the Lord. In addition to the new film Revive Us, Cameron has founded a new website, thecourage.com. Listen to the titles of current articles or videos on the homepage. Why you can't avoid the dating conversation with your teen. Do you have real saving faith? What is so dangerous about the prosperity gospel? How can I tell if I'm addicted to pornography? How do you trust God when life isn't fair? Take a moment and check out Cameron's website, thecourage.com. This tired world could use more courageous Christians. God was not done with Canadian Bill Watcott after he plucked him out of a life of drugs and hopelessness. Stay tuned for the second half of our Worldview special report about how Bill infiltrated one of the largest homosexual transgender pride parades in Canada and distributed 3,000 gospel tracts. It's coming up following today's newscast. When 31-year-old Joshua Gutkin was in a bad accident, his 2-year-old toddler Noah was thrown from the Jeep on Interstate 91 South, heading toward Rocky Hill in Connecticut, reports the Hartford Courant. In God's providence, 39-year-old nurse Jasmine Flores was on her way to a swim meet when she came upon the accident as the car seat, with Noah still strapped inside, was literally rolling across the highway. She saw Gutkin, the distraught father, pull little Noah out of the car seat and cradle him as he begged his young son to wake up, yelling, "Noah, please don't die!" That's when the nurse pulled the toddler from his father's arms and administered 6 sets of heart compressions before Noah's pulse returned and he started breathing. Nurse Flores said, quote, "I couldn't give up," end quote. Pray for Noah, who is now fighting for his life at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center. And finally, the big update on our fundraising campaign. Our Friday, August 3rd goal of $30,000 to keep the Worldview in 5 minutes on the air is drawing closer by the day. Each day, our team spends 8 to 9 hours working on the Worldview between researching, interviewing, transcribing, writing, editing, and voicing the newscast. Special thanks to Dalton in Elizabeth, Colorado for his gift of $25, Stewart in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, Canada for his gift of $30, LaShun in Newport News, Virginia for his gift of $50, Melissa in Great Falls, Montana for her gift of $80, and an anonymous donor who gave $300. And we're also grateful to God for Derek in Lincoln, Nebraska, and Deborah in Goldendale, Washington, both of whom pledged $25 per month for a year. Together, their 7 gifts totaled $1,085. Ready for our new grand total? Drum roll, please. So far, since July 2nd, the Remnant has given or pledged $23,942 toward our $30,000 goal. We now stand at 79.8% of our goal. Can you help? We need just 5 more Worldview listeners to pledge $50 per month for a year and 10 more listeners to pledge $25 per month for a year. Go to TheWorldview.com. Click on Give on the top right, then on $50 or $25, and check the recurring donation button. Would you prayerfully consider becoming one of 5 more Worldview listeners to help today? And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Monday, July 30th in the year of our Lord, 2018. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview Special Report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. Bill Watcott is facing a $104 million lawsuit with the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, as one of the plaintiffs in the case. Watcott spoke to The Worldview about how God called him to evangelize after he was saved out of darkness. He said he was overwhelmed to think that he was the only one of his friends that he knew who was rescued from the seduction of the world.
You know, I was very, very grateful to God for giving me those things, because most of my criminal friends never left the lifestyle. And I just had to kind of break contact with them because we had nothing in common.
Watcott said he tried to invite his friends to church, but none of them kept coming. 4 years after his conversion, he said he asked the Lord what he wanted him to do.
4 years later, I asked the Lord, what should I do to give back to you? And the natural inclination was prison fellowship. And I went to one of their training sessions, but it got canceled and they never told me. And it was a 2.5-hour drive. So I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe God doesn't want me in that door. At this time, I was giving a little bit of money to pro-life charities because I was really concerned about it, even though I wasn't actively involved.
Watcott said that one day he saw an opportunity in a pro-life newsletter for sidewalk counseling. And that's where the adventure began.
One day I got this letter encouraging anyone, just sidewalk counselors desperately needed. And it was just like the Holy Spirit said, Bill, this is where I want you. And so I went there, and you know, it was two older ladies. I was like a young, fairly good-looking guy in my 20s. And, you know, these are like ladies in their 50s and 60s. I thought, oh, this is kind of a boring ministry. But then I thought to myself, well, I'm not really here for me. I'm here for the unborn. I stuck it out. It became very interesting because I was the first guy arrested under Ontario's bubble zone law. To my utter amazement, because all what I did was stand on a public sidewalk with a sign that said abortion kills children.
He said that it was ironic because they were actually offering help for the moms who were going into the abortion mill.
We had housing if they needed that. We had baby food. We had cribs. We had counselors if they needed emotional support. We'd offer these alternatives to murdering your baby.
Watcott said they gave him 6 months in jail, his first jail sentence as a Christian for standing up for life.
That was way harsher than when I was a normal criminal. And that was a huge eye-opener to me. But of course, in prison, then I had my prison ministry. Inmates knew I wasn't the saint. Before, I was the saint. Now, you know, I'm this educated guy. I'm a nurse. I've got social etiquette, which is not typical in jail. And a lot of inmates just looked up to me. And of course, I was a very open Christian. I started Bible studies. I had a little church going in my cell. And
Matthew 5:16 was shining through Bill even there in prison. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. After Bill got out of jail, he continued to picket Planned Parenthood, and he said that, as a result, he almost lost his nursing license as he dealt with his first Supreme Court case.
Working for a government health care provider, they actually cared about what I did during my off-work hours, and they went for my nursing license, so I lost it. That was my first Supreme Court battle, and I actually won. It went to the Supreme Court, but they refused to hear it, so I won. It went through three levels of lower court.
Watcott said that the next battle was speaking out against the promotion of the homosexual agenda in public schools.
That was my next Supreme Court battle, which the Supreme Court received and agreed to hear, and I lost it. And then that pretty much ended your ability to speak freely on this issue. What I did was infiltrated to pray.
Acts 5:29 is the way Watcott has operated ever since facing rejection for spreading the gospel of Jesus to the homosexuals and transgenders and through pro-life causes. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Watcott said that he started by applying to attend homosexual parades as a Christian, but that didn't work.
You know, I first applied to the parade to march as an openly Christian man. Of course, they refused to let me in the parade and told me I'm not welcome in the 2016 parade or any subsequent parade after that. And so I said, well, now they push me in the closet.
Watcott said that he and a team infiltrated the homosexual parade in costume and that they were able to hand out tracts to many people there.
With that, I handed out 3,000 gospel flyers, and the parade kind of went into a melodrama, even though they were blaspheming Christ. It's amazing how the God they don't believe in, they rail against them so much.
Watcott said that the whole mission behind infiltrating the homosexual parade was to tell them that they could come to Jesus Christ.
My little gospel flyers telling them that they could turn to Christ, that they continue in their sin, they'll be separated from the Lord and get a whole bunch of different diseases, that I actually use the Atlanta Center for Disease Control as my statistical evidence.
Watcott said the $104 million lawsuit against him was launched on Parliament Hill in Ottawa, Ontario.
The Prime Minister and Premier were two plaintiffs, which is kind of like Obama and maybe one of your congressmen being a plaintiff, just bizarre, given that I was kind of just a low-budget Christian. They could have ignored me, and it would have gave me less coverage.
The lawsuit foundered, so he said they followed it up with a warrant for his arrest, something that didn't ever happen when he had hijacked a bus in his years before knowing Christ.
They put out a Canada-wide arrest warrant, which they never did when I hijacked a bus, sent cops looking for me in three different provinces, and flew me back to face it. And now I guess I'm out on bail as I'm talking to you.
Watcott said that he's now looking at 2 years in jail for sharing the gospel at the homosexual pride parade. He asked for prayers for daily provision, as it's hard for him to get a job anywhere because people are afraid of his history. Praise God for faithful men like Watcott, who are unashamed of sharing the righteousness and sacrifice of Christ Jesus for sinners. Matthew 5:11-13 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Pray for the homosexuals and transgenders who received Watcott's tracts at the parade 2 years ago, and pray that God would open their eyes and bring them from darkness to light. Let's never forget the words of 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, and the incredible mercy and grace of God to rescue us from sin and self. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. To sign a petition in support of Bill Watcott, our brother in Christ Jesus in Canada, go to a link in our transcript today at theworldview.com. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.